It's Friday, August 25th, and you're listening to the Geek News Central podcast, sponsored by GoDaddy.com. Geek News Central is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. Please visit techpodcast.com. It's show number 199, and yes, I am so ready for the weekend, but guess what? We got some great tech for you. Strap in. Here it comes.
This is the Geek News Central Podcast, part of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. So grab a cup of coffee, take a seat, and crank up that volume. Because you're listening to Todd on the Geek News Central Podcast.
Aloha and welcome to the Geek News Central podcast, coming to as live as it can be from historic Ford Island in Honolulu, Hawaii. How's everyone? Are you ready for the weekend? I know I am. And I actually have a very nice, relaxing schedule planned for this weekend. Talk about that a little bit. But how's everyone? How's your week been? It's been busy? Well, I tell you, it's been busy here as usual. It seems like it's just one thing after another. And with us getting ready for, you know, we're 5 weeks away from going out to Ontario, California to the Podcast and Portable Media Expo. So I've been ramping up for that, taking care of all the paperwork and getting all our brochures ready, you name it. And wow, it's going to be here before we know it. But hey, got some great news for you tonight on the show as far as lots of great information. Of course, we're at show number 199. Can you imagine that? And we're going to be show 200 next time. So I don't know. You know what? I have really, it's kind of like, I'm not even really super hyped about it. I don't know why. It's just another number. But we'll have something special for you. We'll figure something out. But the wife and I and the kids, we're going to pack up tomorrow afternoon. And, you know, some people say, what do you do in Hawaii for fun? Well, you know, every once in a while we'll go camping. And people say, camping? They're like, yeah, you can go camping in Hawaii. But instead of going to the mountains, typically we go to the beach. And this weekend we're going to be going to what's being termed a surf camp. And we're going to be boogie boarding, surfing, and I'm going to try my skills at seeing if I can get up on a surfboard and keep from falling off, and going to have some fun and camp out with some good friends and be unplugged, leaving the cell phone. Actually, I have one cell phone in the car, but it's going to be off. I'll only use it in case of emergency, but we're going to be disconnected this weekend. It's going to be absolutely wonderful. I do have an event I have to go to early tomorrow morning, and then I get done with that, run home, get a shower, turn right around, and then we leave out of here, going over to the other side of the island and going to be hanging out. So the van is full of camping gear, and you know, many of you, I'm sure you and you guys go camping, you have to drive 3 or 4 hours to get to your camping spot. So we've got about a 30-minute drive, so not too bad. Well, I tell you, this week's been a very interesting week. I've had a couple of interviews this week. One was with PR Web that was for the Podcast Awards. That went real well. Had a nice 15-minute interview with them. Had an interview the same day with Frank Barnico, and his article came out today. Not real pleased with his commentary. Probably I'll be addressing that when I get back next week. And breaking down some of the things he had to say. But anyway, those are up and online. We'll put some links up to them in the show notes tonight. But for all of you that are long-term subscribers here, hey, thanks for being part of the family, being part of the ohana, as we say here in Hawaii. And thanks for staying subscribed. Of course, all of you that are checking out the show for the very first time, we want to make sure that you stick around and get signed up for our newsletter. And I don't know what it's been. I think kids are coming back to school and seeing a very steady increase in the number of listeners on the show. Also seeing a steady increase in the actual number of people signing up for the newsletter. You can find that within the second column of Geek News Central. And what you'll do is you get the show notes delivered directly to your inbox immediately upon me essentially publishing the show. But I did get a call. You know, I've been sitting here working on my configuration, getting ready for the roundtable a week from Saturday. And I've kind of come to the realization, and I was talking with another guy on Skype, that we've got a little bit of a dilemma, and maybe some of you that are out there can help us. Now, let me describe what the situation is. I have a professional phone bridge. It's called a Telios, and it ties into my mixer. So essentially, I can be on my normal rig like I am now recording the show, and then I can patch someone in, and it's real simple. It's, you know, you've got, if you've ever called into a radio station and you hear that little shh, that's when they patch you in via a phone bridge. So I've got that and can bring that into, you know, the conversation. And typically what we've done is we've used free conference call to get everyone to dial in. But, you know, people either Skype in or they're dialing in long distance. And we thought, well, let's try to use technology to the best of our ability. So we've been using Skypecast. Well, Skypecast is notoriously noisy. And I essentially have to go through and mute everyone except for a few people that are presenting in order to hear things. And at the end, it makes it very difficult to ask questions because we have to essentially go in and unmute one person at a time. And if you unmute more than two or three, then the noise level goes up. So I've been trying to figure out, though, some people don't mind calling in on the dial-in line, and some want to obviously use the Skype cast. But the trick has been how to make each of those groups hear each other. Now, it's no problem for me to take a main out of my mixer, go into a computer, and actually have that patched in so that when someone's on the dial-up line, they can be heard in the Skype cast. That's not a problem. There's not a feedback issue because that's a bridge. It's specifically set up to have a independent in and out, isolates it the whole nine yards. But the problem comes in is when I try to patch the Skype in or the Skype audio into the mixer, you get a loop, you know, because if I bring an audio in, then it routes it through and it's going to send it back up. There's no isolation. And I've been racking my brain on how to do this. I thought I had it figured out, but we're still missing. I got all the noise level down and all the ground loops taken care of, but I still can't get the audio back. Now, I've been thinking, can I add a second mixer to the mix? Because I've got one down here that I don't use, one of the original ones I was recording the show with. Maybe I could use that on a standby. So I'm going to draw this out on a piece of paper tomorrow during some downtime, and hopefully I can figure out how to do it. But are any of you doing that? Are you bridging Skype and telephone calls together at the same time, using a bridge or however, whatever way you do are doing it? I want to hear about it, and maybe we can maybe I can reach out to some of the folks out there that are doing a lot more interviews and have to use this type of a setup. All right, what else have I got cooking here? Well, of course, the roundtable. Dennis Hayes over at Tech Podcast, he's the one that's organizing on what's going to be happening next week. And I'm going to be hosting, but I've kind of stepped back and let some of the other guys take care of some things over there. But, of course, we're going to be using GoToMeeting, which is the, you know, you've heard me talk about it a lot. It's the best web-based conferencing solution that I've found. And with its cool tools, you can record the meetings. I can use the drawing tools. I can hand off back between different people. You know, once I'm done, I hit save and it saves the whole session. So it's recorded in a movie type format, patch the audio in, and essentially people can go and, you know, relive that online training session or the online meeting, with relative easy. So if you want to try GoToMeeting out, try it out for 30 days just by visiting GoToMeeting.com/tech podcast. That's GoToMeeting.com/tech podcast. GoToMeeting, online meetings made easy. I was playing around with we got a new sponsor that just started today over at over on Blueberry, and we've got about I think there's 20 or 25 podcasters that are signed up for a new promotion, and it's essentially we've got a the company's called Wicked Lasers. I'll talk about them a little later, but. We've got those guys starting on that, but I was setting up all of the creative, and I was using a new program or actually an online tool called PHP Ads New, I believe is the actual terminology for it. What a wonderful web-based application, free. For those of you that are out there looking for ways to manage any type of advertising or online banner ad type stuff. It's really, really an easy application to use, and I highly recommend it. So check that out. I'll put a link up to the application in the show notes. And if you know, it's for those of you that are running your own, you know, maybe doing a little bit of playing around in the space on web blogs. And it's a real cool, very easy to use. But that brings up hosting, of course. And why get a domain name when you can get it all? Register your domain name with GoDaddy.com, the number one domain register worldwide. And get free hosting with a website builder, a free blog, complete email, and much, much more. Plus, as a Geek News Central listener, enter the code GEEK5, G-E-E-K-5, when you check out and save an additional 15% off your order of $20 or more. Get your piece of the internet at GoDaddy.com. Thanks for GoDaddy for being a continued sponsor here at the Geek News Central podcast. All right, I got a great lineup of content for you tonight. Going to try to not go an hour again like we have in the last two shows. You know, it's when I start reaching an hour, the email gets funny. I get 10 emails saying, hey, great, we love that you went 60 minutes, go to 90. And then I get emails from people who are saying, Todd, it's too long, bring it back down. So, you know, there's almost two camps. But I don't have time to do another show during the week to break it up. And, you know, I had promised some weeks ago that we're going to try to keep the show a little bit shorter. And boy, my gift to gab here just wants to, I don't know, I just hit that's like that 1 hour mark comes up magically. So we'll see what we can do about keeping that shorter tonight and get you guys on your way for your good weekend. All right, there's a great article, and it's off a website that I have never read before. It's called apcstart.com, and it's about a gal who's a senior executive at Microsoft. And it's a very interesting title to this article. It says, Unlock Work Internet or Risk Losing Staff. Now, how many of you work for an employer that has the desktop PCs locked down where you can't do any instant messaging, where they restrict you on where you can go surf to, you know, whole just, you know, it's just to the point where you're being stifled. How many of you are in a work situation like that? I'm sure there are some of you that are and some of you that are in a complete opposite where everything's open up. You can do whatever you want to do. And I guess it all depends on your boss. Now, what I have found, especially I do a lot of research in my job. I'm always on the net doing looking at corporate websites, digging down through their material, on the phone with people from companies, you know, big Fortune 500 companies. And, you know, it's an integral part of my work. I have to be on the net being, you know, doing this research. And to think, I'm sure many of you are in the same position where you're doing, you know, you're looking up information, you know, whatever it may be. There's so much stuff now that we use online. There's this growing front of young people who are basically saying, you lock the internet down. You know, I have been digitally connected my entire life via my cell phone, via my PDA, my BlackBerry, instant messaging, the whole nine yards. It's part of, you know, it's my normal conversation. It's like, you know, getting up for a coffee break and spending 10 minutes too long talking with someone else. You know, instead of kids getting up now for coffee breaks, they're doing instant messaging or catching up on some email or something. How many of you find the internet distracting you at work? How many of you find that you probably are losing hours to your employer because access is too open? On the other hand, how many of you are so frustrated with the lockdown that you have that you're routing around your employer? And that's what's being done right now. People are with all these nice tools coming out like PDAs with EVDO service built into them. You know, if the employer has a PC lockdown, as long as you've got a device, you know, look at this Sprint phone that I've been testing now. It's, you know, it's a Sprint Samsung phone, and it's got EVDO built into it. And I can essentially, it's not as easy as using a computer, but the speed is there. It's, you know, it's a true EVDO connection, and I can do a lot with it. So how many of you are routing around your employer with those types of services? Or bringing your own laptop in and plugging an EVDO card into it and doing what you have to do. So What do you think? Do you guys think that the business people that are stuck in the old ages who got PCs locked down are causing lost productivity, or vice versa? Where does this fall out? And where does it happen in at your workplace? I'd really love to hear from you on this. You can call the voicemail hotline and comment at 619-342-7365. But I think it's a very pertinent question today. It's one that comes up from time to time. But the study that Microsoft has done is saying that young people are essentially saying, no, we're not going to be blocked. And if you block us, we're going to do everything in our power to route around you because it's part of our life, you know. You know, when after 911, I spent 78 days without any internet access whatsoever. We were locked down, no telephones, no dial-up, no email. It was the ultimate 12-step program, and it was in preparation for some things that we were involved with, and for good reason. They didn't want people just, you know, gabbing about what was happening and what was going to be happening or what was happening, and for security issues. So 78 days was, for me, being absolutely connected, was very, very tough. But it also taught me at that point that life does go on without net connectivity, no matter what. And it's not as easy, but you still can continue to move forward. And it wasn't so long ago. I remember, a 1983, 1984 time frame, even before I got into the BBS scene, that really, to call long distance was ridiculously expensive. I think I was paying $3.50 to $4 a minute when I was living in Guam to call back to the States. And, pencil and paper was the way to go. That was, cost of a stamp was cheap. How far we have come. Now if I'm not without email for a couple of hours, I'm freaking out. It shows you how far we've come. I've got all my kids are awake right now. They're getting ready to go camping, so I might get barged in on here. I hear one of them outside the door. We will see if he comes in. All right, how many of you work with companies where you rely on Google? Really, it makes or breaks your company. A lot of companies have done a lot of work with their websites and with their search terms to really have a good result from, focused niche markets. And there's a good article in the CNNmoney.com that talks about how Google can make or break your company via changes they make to their algorithms. And, there was a gentleman here that they talk about how he lost 20% of his revenue just from a change in the Google way it was ranking sites, because he wasn't up in the top 10 anymore. He was on a secondary page. So, it's pretty scary. I used to pay a lot of attention to it. I really did. I mean, I used to really work hard to optimize my websites. And I know that search engine optimization is a big, big business right now. A lot of companies spend a lot of money getting their websites optimized. But I think over time, if your content is balanced and it's regular and it's updated on, if you're blogging on a regular basis or you're putting new content up and it's fresh, Google will be good to you. It really, really will. I think we have a page rank of 7 now at geeknewscentral.com. Sure, I'd love to see it to go to 8, but you know what? It took a while to get there, and we had to do that through continually putting new content up and making it as fresh as possible, and I think that's the goal. So how much does your company rely on Google for its income? And it's pretty scary to think that, companies, whether or not employees are going to get paid or not depends on where you are in the search engine ranking. But this is a great article, one that you'll definitely not want to miss. All right, there was I had to laugh today because, fellas, how many times have, and this is specifically for the guys, and the gals will get a laugh out of this too. How many times has your spouse or a girlfriend or, just someone said, hey, open this, and they give you a jar, and it's one of those typical big lick jars, and you strain and struggle, and you hit it with the knife, and it won't open, and then, you say, I can't open it, and you hand it to your spouse, and she goes, and it just opens, like, you know, it's just like, it hadn't even been, it wasn't even tight in the first place. I'm sure you've all had that happen to you, and you take a little gruff for it, and it's just Murphy's Law. It happens. Well, a trio of women have outsmarted computer engineers, rocket scientists, and senior executives at the NSA. Apparently, there's this website out there called Scroll Quest, S-C-R-O-L-L, quest.com, which has like these treasure hunts. And they hide stuff all over the United States, and I guess maybe even the world, I don't know. But they put these clues up on a website, and then you have to figure out where it's at. And they give cash prizes. Well, one of these puzzles has been going on for a while, and they had some pretty big names in there, some very, very smart people trying to figure this out. And these three homemakers got together and talked about it and did a little research, and they actually found the coin that had been hidden out in West Virginia. Now, what was kind of interesting about this is you know, here you, it's that typical thing, you know, you're so focused on the problem, and you're trying to get the jar open, and it won't open, you can't figure out what's going on, and you hand it to, you know, the person that gave it to you in the first place, and they, you know, it's open, it's the same type of a deal. So I had to laugh about this. This is over on 12.org, and so I'm happy to see these ladies kick these smart guys' butt, you know. And you know what? And, you know, my grandmother had a saying. She goes, you know, she used to say, Sonny, you know what? Having a college education is not everything. She said, sometimes they are just educated idiots. Now, I'm not saying these scientists were, but, and obviously these ladies were pretty sharp in order to get this done, but congratulations to them, and I hope they have fun spending the money. You know, 50 grand between three women, they're going to have great shopping spree, aren't they? So, all right, let's move on. Internet Explorer version 7, release candidate number 1 is out, and if you are looking forward to IE 7 and you haven't jumped in, this might be about the time where, you know, again, use with caution. But this might be the time where you want to go ahead and check out IE7. And I've been running it now on one of my PCs that I don't use it on a production machine. But it's been stable and running well for me. So if you're ready to take the plunge, it's available. Link will be up in the show notes. Now, you know, with all the news about oil prices going up, and we are all paying for it at the pump. Obviously, I pay $3.27 a gallon here in Hawaii for my gas. But I saw this article today that just blew me away. It says, Russia overtakes Saudi Arabia as world's leading oil producer. I said, huh? I said, how's that possible? And I didn't realize it, but it appears that Russia is just like really cranking out the oil. There is an indication, though, that if the Saudis ramped up, they could easily overtake Russia as the world's leading oil producer. But in June, Russia extracted 9.236 million barrels of oil, which was only a measly 46,000 barrels more than Saudi Arabia. But wow, I didn't know that. And it goes on to talk about some interesting statistics that Russia's gross national product is 50% of that comes from oil revenues. So is that amazing or what? I guess I need to get educated on the oil business a little bit, seeing that the gas is just going to continue to go up. All right, back on the technology front, there's a good post over on ericsync.com, and he's got an article about how to get people talking about your product. And, you know, it's one of the things that we've found as a challenge with Blueberry over at BLUBRRY.com. You know, we're all working our day jobs. We're you know, two or three of us are active bloggers. Three or four of us are podcasters. And, you know, we've got 520 now people signed up on the website. But, you know, trying to build that word of mouth about the site and, you know, what we're all about, and trying to get our vision and why we're not a directory, you know, kind of growing that has been a challenge. But I found this article to be dead on, and it's got some great points there. So if you're looking to get people talking about your product, you'll definitely want to read his post here. It's quite extensive, and it goes just through different phases, how to get buzz, examples of great word of mouth, and preemptive responses to comments, the whole nine yards. So check it out, and we'll have the link up in the show notes. And if you got something good to say about, good or bad to say about Blueberry, and you're a blogger, we would definitely appreciate any link love or any comment love about the site as well. It's you know, I get emails all the time from you folks, but don't be afraid to say the good and bad on your blogs, because any buzz is good buzz. All right. News today seems Sony has snagged Grouper video sharing site for $65 million, and this is essentially just made people go absolutely crazy today because of the, you know, all of the hype that's been going on about YouTube. So they're saying now, because of the market share that Grouper had, which was pretty small, which Sony has snagged up, they're saying now that YouTube could now be worth as much as $2 billion. I'm saying that with a B, billion dollars. I'm going to tell you what, if someone spends $2 billion for YouTube, they're definitely not buying that space to make money, because I don't care how much advertising they do. You know, they would be buying a brand. They're not going to buy that to, you know, they're buying it to just start off from scratch. I can't imagine. I just don't see it. I really, really don't. Well, if they do, then maybe it shows that there's, you know, crazy money is back in the investment circles. So we will see. Now, I read a most shocking article today on Engadget, and this is one that you're definitely going to want to check out. It's one that's probably going to leave half of you with your mouths wide open, and the title of this is The Lockdown, Locked But Not Secure, and it talks about how the majority of us have locks that are in our houses, you know, hanging on our sheds, that are absolutely completely insecure. And so insecure that a 11-year-old with just minimal amount of training was able to open some of the most sophisticated tumbler locks in just a matter of seconds. And when you see this article and what's going on and some of the tools that are out there now and how they actually did it, I think you're going to be shocked. I really think you are. I think what I'm going to foresee seeing here is a complete change in the way our houses, the way we lock stuff up. This is going to open up. If it doesn't open your eyes and make you look for different solutions to securing your property, you know, obviously if a crook wants to get in, they're going to break a window and get in. You know, because locks are, you know, is good only, you know, or they take a screwdriver and a hammer and break the lock off or whatever it may be. But wait to check this out. You got to look at it, read the whole article. I think you'll be very, very surprised on just how easy it is to get by most of these tumbler locks. So take a look at it. Link will be up in the show notes. Now, I'm sure some of you geeks out there are always looking for some of the coolest gadgets. And how many of you have gone through two or three different webcams? You know, upgraded, have they gotten better? Well, now there's a new high-definition webcam out by Hercules Duplex. And I don't know what it costs, but this thing's amazing. It will give you a 1.3 megapixel video sensor, gets you 30 frames per second of high-definition goodness, plus 3x digital zoom, and even 5 megapixel stills. So if you're looking for the ultimate high-definition webcam, you're going to want to check this out. It's going to be available in October. And, you know, I can only imagine what people are going to be doing behind these webcams when they go HD. The voyeur effect is definitely going to be in with these things. But, you know, how are they going to think about the bandwidth you're going to need to be able to push a HD quality webcam video stream out? That's going to require some bandwidth, folks. And guess what? Here in the United States, we're probably not going to have enough bandwidth to do that. And, you know, when I point you to an article I'm going to talk about later, for those of you that reside here in the United States, you're going to be mad. And I'm going to tell you what, those of you that reside in countries outside of the United States that have these great bandwidth plans that are available now, I am extremely jealous. And we are so far behind, folks. It's just shocking how far we are behind. But anyway, we'll get to that article later. Hey, it looks like Cox Cable and TiVo have made a deal. And you're going to now get TiVo software on your Cox Motorola DVR boxes. It's not going to go into effect until 2007. But it won't be long before you'll be able to enjoy the TiVo software interface for your DVRs with the boxes you've got from Cox. So kind of cool, and I'd like to see that happen here in Hawaii, but I don't see Time Warner doing that anytime soon. On the Microsoft front today, I found an article that just irritates me beyond belief. And I don't know what the deal is over there in Redmond. I don't know what they're doing. Obviously, they're all out smoking and coking and taking a break instead of writing code. But Windows Vista 32-bit version won't play HD movies. Yep, you heard me right. Windows Vista 32-bit version won't play HD movies. So if you've been looking forward to watching HD movies when you upgrade to Windows Vista next year, tough luck. It's not going to happen. Now, if you upgrade and run their 64-bit processor, as long as you have a Core 2 Duo or some of the recent Athlon chips that are out, then you might be able to watch HD video. But the 32-bit version of Vista will not be able to. What is the deal, Microsoft? What is the deal? I just can't believe it. I really, really can't. It's just another feature that, you know, obviously they couldn't get done. Can someone explain to me why? How hard is it? How hard can it be, really? I just don't get it. All right, you know, I told you that it wouldn't be too long before they'll be making us take our batteries out of our laptops. Well, if you're a Dell user and you get on an airplane with Qantas Airlines or some of the other, go through some of the security checkpoints, security is making a lot of people remove their batteries from their Dell computers. You're still going to be able to fly with them, but there's very, very quickly some restrictions are going in place in what you can and can't do with a Dell laptop on an airplane. So there's another article tonight that talks about how Apple also today issued an announcement where they are recalling 1.8 million batteries as well. Now, all these batteries that are seem to be catching on fire were made by Sony. And what stayed underneath the radar is the Apple MacBook. I believe it was the MacBook Pro on the G4. They've got the models listed on the website, so I'm not going to go into that, but I'll let you guys look at the link if you haven't seen it already, is that they had like 8 or 9 laptops that burned up. And so obviously Sony has got some issues with these batteries, so I don't know how many total, like what does that make, 4.8 million batteries or something like that being recalled, and you're not going to get them real quick. And if you are looking to buy another battery, you probably are out of luck because they are in short supply right now. And both Dell and both Dell and Apple are saying it's going to be weeks before you get your battery. And what's sad is the way the recall process works is you have to send them your battery first before they send you a new battery. So you're going to be running around with a shell. Essentially, that's going to be required to hooked up to power. So much for having a good laptop, huh? How many of you that have Dell laptops that are affected? How many of you will buy Dell next time? I'd like to hear from you. I know there's listeners out there in this audience that has one of these affected batteries. What are you going to do? How's this going to affect you? Are you going to have to go buy another PC? You know, I think there's going to be probably a windfall for some companies because some people are not going to be able to deal without having a battery in their laptop for a month or two. I just can't see it happening. People are not going to put up with that. All right, there's some new graphic shots out for the new Zune, the Microsoft Zune media player. And looks pretty sharp, folks. Nice color interface. You know, of course, you know, the Apple iPod interface is real fancy too, right? But there's only so many ways they can mash up these interfaces. But the Zune interface will be in color and looks pretty nice. Nice and clean. We'll see how the rest of the player plays. All right, Mark Kanner over on his blog at broadbandmechanics.com has a great article, and it starts off by saying, better mousetrap or a new form of lock-in? And this is all taking target at Google and in their bid for world domination. And he breaks down their land grab over the past 3 years by going step by step through what they have done, how the interfaces have worked, how their API is. And here's one example. Number one, that they, you know, this would raise a little bit of a controversy at the time. And, it's just how soon people forget, but it built upon some ideas that he's going on how Google is becoming the kind of like their own walled garden. They said, first of all, make sure that Blogger, your first piece of the puzzle, does not support RSS and XML RPC or the Meta Weblog API. Make sure it demands that developers support some proprietary protocol, the so-called AKA Blogger API. So what was going on at the time was that there was already established protocols or APIs or interfaces so that one application could talk to another application. Those were pre-existing. But, Blogger and Google couldn't do that, so they had to come up with their own deal, right? So the second thing of this is that they decided that they were kind of going to try to reinvent RSS and mash everything up and add them on Blogger instead of just, you know, going with the crowd and having their own, and having RSS like the rest of the world does. And then they started launching a whole bunch of standalone applications. And this is kind of going through his piece here a little bit, breaking it down. But, you know, where we're at today is that they're launching all these little stovepipe applications that are essentially almost locking people in. The data goes in, but it really doesn't come out, which was really the same position that Microsoft was in when they started getting hit with those antitrust suits and everything else. So what I'd like you guys to do is just go ahead and, ladies, go ahead and check out this post. It's pretty extensive. And then, boy, the comment section on this is positive and negative. But I think Mark's hit the nail right on top of the head on this one, okay? This article should really make you think about what they're doing and how it relates to, you know, your information, your attention data, your in the, you know, stuff that's important to you today. So check it out. Good article from Mark. I really enjoyed it. Okay, Apple has decided that they're going to go ahead and settle, and they're going to be paying Creative Labs $100 million in for the iPod-related lawsuit that's been ongoing. So it's a broad settlement ending all legal disputes between the two companies. And so Apple's going to pay them, and at the same time, Creative's going to be able to make some iPod type of products. So, and it's going to give them a, it's going to essentially bring Apple up to date on their licensing of some of the technology from Creative that they've used that's been at dispute. And many of you probably didn't realize that there was any type of dispute going on, but Creative had asserted that the Zen patent covered the user interface in Creative Nomad and Zen portable digital media players, and the iPod, iPod Nano, and iPod Mini infringed on that. So, good news that they become friends again. Of course, it cost Apple $100 million, but a lot of the investors are smiling because they thought it could have been much, much worse, but they came to an agreement. All right, good friend Nick Bradbury, the creator of FeeDemon, has written a very telling article, and I can commend Nick for really essentially opening up and telling all. And over the past couple of weeks, he's been working on some security fixes to FeeDemon. And the reason for it is because there's been some discoveries that were made that would show how most feed readers could be exploited. And Nick has went through, and they're getting ready to release the new update to FeeDemon within the next couple of days. But he is also reaching out to any other newsreader group and saying, hey, I'll talk to you about how I fix FeeDemon so that it's not vulnerable so that you can get on track and get your stuff fixed as well. So I commend Nick for reaching out to the other companies and saying, hey, let's work together. I don't think very many other companies would do this, but I know Nick's a pretty stand-up guy, and that's why I love his products. So good going, Nick, and very good post. That's what social transparency is all about. All right, I found this application, and I haven't played with it yet, but I keep hearing, I've heard two or three different times someone talk about this. It's called GTD Gmail. And, you know, essentially what this is an application that helps you get organized within email. It's actually termed Get Things Done. It's a simple and effective productivity concept designed so that even the laziest and most scattered of people can be organized and stress-free. Now, I have my Gmail come in via, I do a pop-out to it. I go out and drop it down into my normal email client. And as it comes in, based upon keywords or whoever it's from, stuff gets dropped into whatever specific directory. So I have it pretty organized in Outlook. But if I go online, which I very rarely do, and actually check my inbox on Gmail, oh my gosh, you know, I've got like 22,000 emails in the inbox, and some of them are tagged, some of them are not, and it's a mess. So I'm thinking, I'd like to get that cleaned up a little bit. Even though I've got it organized on Outlook, it's always nice to have that full database there and available. So I'm going to try to replicate. I'm going to try to use this this application and see if I can duplicate my efforts on Gmail. And I'll let you know how it goes. But I'll put a link up to this application. If you've used it before, I'd like to hear some feedback on it. That's for sure, but I've heard two or three people rave about it, so I'm going to give it a run for the money and see what happens. All right, there's a good podcasting article over on a Marketing Sherpa. It's a special report, Marketing Sherpa's Practical Podcasting Guide for Marketers. I read through this and dropped a comment on it, but the summary of it is it's talking about some surprising data on listener demographics. And, you know, company. I could have told you these demographics about a year ago. This is old news. I don't know where you're figuring, you know, everyone keeps thinking that the main demographic for podcasts is like this 18 to 24 group. It's not, you know, there's a very, very large segment that is 25 and above. And you sure there's a segment that's 18 to 24. Actually, 18 to 34 is about the same as 34 to 44, 45, and 45 and above. You know, so I'm not surprised about these listener demographics because, it's, you know, it follows everything that I've been seeing for a long time. They talk about some mistakes to avoid, rules for podcast content, and I break every rule that they've got here. They say, look, the podcast should never be longer than 20 to 25 minutes because people won't listen for a full hour. This podcast goes against the norm on that. Or do you guys shut off? Of course, the survey results say that 90% or 98% of you listen to the whole show. So, and then it talks about some tips to creating great commercial content that will get results. And, you know, I hate to tell these companies, but if you're a company, don't go out and just do your own podcast. Go out and get some podcasters to talk about your product. You know, get engaged with people that are in your space. You know, they'll do more for you in a two or three shows than you'll be able to do in a year on your own, because when it comes directly from the manufacturer, guess what we say? Commercial, sell, hype. But if it comes from someone that's playing around with a product and can talk about it intelligently, so they do cover that a little bit, but they should, how much traffic should you get, and give some useful links. And sadly, they did not talk about raw voice in here. I guess we're not on the radar enough. We're not giving enough money to podcasters. By the way, speaking about podcasters, we have signed two deals. I'm very proud to say we've got 125 podcasts that over the next 3 to 6 months have the opportunity to earn nearly $100,000 in advertising revenue. And these are two pretty big deals that we've been working on. One of them is a new company that we're partnering with, or not, you know, we're doing a promotion for. It's called Wicked Lasers, and I'll have a link up to their website in the show notes. I'm not going to go into the full details. I'm not on their ad buy. I stayed off it. I put other podcasters on it because I was the one coordinating, obviously. So that probably wouldn't have made a lot of sense. Wouldn't have been fair, but. What this thing is this is not your normal laser. You know, if you all have little laser pointers that you use, when you go over to check this site out and see what these things do, these lasers are powerful. Powerful. Let me say that again. To the point where you can actually see the beam And they've even got some of the real high-end ones that will burn holes and stuff. So they are not toys. Don't get me, you know, these are very, very powerful and not something that you'd go point in somebody's face, but very, very cool. They got a huge forum section, a lot of I was amazed. I was, you know, I went over there to kind of check the product out, do a little research on it, read what people are using them for. Simply amazing. And you can check it out at wickedlasers.com. A little bit pricey, but boy, you get a laser that is definitely when you see, you'll understand what I'm talking about. But we're going to welcome them on as a new sponsor for about 2025 podcasts. And then starting October 1st, we've got a big campaign with another company. We'll be talking about that soon as well. But we're real happy that our vision over at Blueberry, where we're going to be able to put money in podcasters' pockets, is coming true. It's working out. We're moving forward. I'm very, very happy about that. And very, very positive sign. So if you're a podcaster and you haven't got listed over at blueberry.com, make sure you do. I'm going to get some feedback. Some people are going to yell at me for promoting this twice tonight, but I'm pretty passionate about what we're doing over there. And you know, in the long run, what it boils down to is we want to make sure that podcasters are in this for the long haul, and we don't think they'll be able to, you know, many won't stay around some are going to do it for passion no matter what. But, you know, it does help to have enough money to take mama out to dinner, pay her hosting bill, whatever it may be. You know, that's what it's all about. And it's about taking care of, you know, the guys that are out there that are creating the content. You know, giving something back to them. All right. Over on, I found a great site called Choose and Watch. Chooseandwatch.com. And it's just that. It's TV channels, more than 150 TV channels that you can. It's news, business, music, movies, cartoons, educational, reality, entertainment. You name it, whatever you can click right here and watch it online. And new service, I haven't seen too much about it, but check it out. And it looks like it's going to be a great, great place to bookmark. All right, there's over on Robin Good's site, he's got an article about online advertising agencies automatically auctions best paying ads for you. It's called Right Media RMX Direct Video Interview. It's an interview, but it's got talks about how they're working with independent publishers. I think this company's really, really dialed in. I think it's like they're on the right track here. So we'll see how this company develops as well. Already talked about that. Let's bring this up. Amazon has done something amazing today. They have, it's in beta testing. It's called the EC2. The best way to describe it is it's a hosting service where you can run a server. You can set up a server on their infrastructure. You essentially build an image file, you upload it, and you can run like Fedora Core and run an actual server box. It gives you the equivalent of a 1.7 gigahertz Xeon with a 1.75 gigs of RAM, 160 gig of local disk drive space, and 250 megabytes of network bandwidth. And what you can do is if you run this virtual machine for a month continuously, running about $70. But what's cool about this is you can scale it. Let's say you've had, all of a sudden you get a slashed out effect or you instantly become popular. You can scale this up quickly. I mean, instantly you can add more virtual servers onto this to get whatever computing power you need. Very interesting concept. Very, very, very cool. The only downfall is that they do charge 20 cents a gig for bandwidth. They don't give you any pre-included bandwidth. They do give you some subcharges for storage. But I'm sure the geeks out there are going to love this. They're going to love playing around with this. So I'll link the TechCrunch review article up. And it's in closed beta right now, but look forward to this opening up. We'll see what happens with that. It's going to be very, very niche. It's going to be very cool. You know, I don't know what happened. The last time, that a couple shows ago, I had said that Pluto was actually given a planet status, but today I get an article on Extreme Tech that says, no, it's official. Pluto has been stripped of its planet status. It's been actually redefined as a dwarf planet. So, you know, instead of having 9 classical planets in our solar system, now we're only going to have 8. So, you know, take every textbook that says that Pluto's a planet and strip that out. get your marker out, because they're saying now that Pluto is going to be a dwarf planet. I thought this was solved like a couple of weeks ago, and where this was actually decided it was going to be a planet. I must have missed something completely here, because this made the Science Front news today in a kind of a big way. So link will be up in the show notes. All right, I was talking about broadband abroad, internet connectivity outside of the United States. And PC World has done a review. They've got publications in like 60 different countries. And they essentially pulled all their editors out there and say, okay, how are the people in your countries connecting to the internet? Oh, man. Check this out. For example, in the United Kingdom, you can buy a DSL service with a download speed of 24 megabits per second. In Norway, some people have fiber optic connections as fast as 100 megabytes per second. And Italy and Spain, broadband service is cheap and dial-up service is free, except for the cost of the local call. Now, sometimes in these foreign countries, the cost of the local call is pretty high. Still, many countries have their own connection quirks. Read about them below. It just goes through and talks about some of the different countries. And some of the access fees are cheap. Here's one in the UK. The real flyer at the moment is TalkTalk, a broadband and phone package. The package includes 8 megabits per download and 448 kilobits per second upload with a 40 gigabyte usage cap. It includes unlimited calls to the UK and international landlines, which includes 28 countries, all for £21 or $39 a month. And this is apparently causing a price war in UK broadband. So it just goes to show you, you know, those of you, most of you that are outside of the United States, you're getting some speed on your lines. Some of you I know here in the United States are getting the fiber, but like I said, my connectivity hasn't increased here in Honolulu in 8 years. It hasn't increased a nickel, and it hasn't went up. The push speeds have went down. So, telcos. All right, quick article on Tech Dirt, because I'm going to push to an hour. I can't believe it. How not to defend yourself against an RIAA lawsuit. When you go in to defend yourself, do not erase your hard drive before you go to court. That will definitely cause the judge to probably frown upon you. There is some ways to good defend yourself. That link is in the show notes. You can check that out. Now, the travesty of the week, of course, is Verizon's doublespeak, but apparently they're not the only ones. Bell South has also added a new fee to pay for the non-fee they no longer collect. Okay, you guys know that the Bells were told, okay, the universal service fee for DSL customers was to go away. They weren't supposed to charge that anymore. So, okay, so Verizon and Bell South, they said, okay, we're not going to collect that money anymore. But instead, we're going to put in some hokey charge because of some unexpected cost. Well, essentially, what they have done is they have enacted a rate hike on you and calling it some weird charge. Where do these companies get off? You know, you're going to save a couple bucks a month, $2 a month times 24 months, that's $48. Don't know about you, any of you out there, but I could use an extra $48. No matter, from taxes, back in my taxes, that's $48, folks. It may not seem like a lot, but guess what? It is. That's money that doesn't no longer go to Uncle Sam. But instead, Verizon and Bell South's not even trying to hide it, which like Verizon did. They're just saying, we're just going to leave it in there. We're going to call it something else. And it's pure profit, folks. Now, you know what's going on here is that these Bells, these telcos, fought for DSL deregulation. And then when they got it where they could put all these services on it, they lowered the price so low that it made hard for other companies to compete. So that, you know, they've been almost given DSL away. Well, they want to recoup some of that money, see? So now they're going to charge a couple extra bucks without having to raise their subscription fee. So if you're paying, you know, whatever it may be, $29.95 for a DSL service, instead of it going to $31.95, you're going to pay $29.95 plus this little secret bill, the secret $2 charge in your bill. If you're a Verizon or a Bell South customer and you are getting DSL service from them, you need to pick up the phone, call customer service, and get angry. Complain loudly. Blog loudly. Make them increase your subscription fee, if that's what it is. Because it's a rate hike. It's a rate hike disguised as, oh, we're trying to cover cost. Give me a break. Okay, NASA has unveiled the new CEV name. This is the Crew Exploration Vehicle. It's going to be called Orion. So very, very cool on that. They accidentally kind of leaked that name early. But that's the new name of the new CEV that's going to be coming out. I'm going to run out of time here, so I'm going to cover this real quickly. There is a application called Free Enigma. It's easy privacy for webmail. Link is up via Boing Boing. I'll have that up in the show notes. Okay, I got a couple of audio comments. Let me get into those real quick, get those knocked out, and then we'll get into the listener comments.
Hey, Todd, this is Kevin in Atlanta. I was calling mainly for the guys at Blueberry. I'm not sure how you're connected. Sure, it would be nice to have a promo cast or something that highlighted the different podcasts that were out there and that are available, you know, randomly chosen or by category or some way to see what else is out there. Always looking for a new show to listen to on the way to work or on the way home. Love your podcast. Thanks a lot. Keep up the good work. Bye.
Hey, thanks for that comment. I tell you what, I've actually got a yellow pad of to-do things, and we've been talking about that already with the podcasters. I've got a couple of podcasters that are interested in doing just that. So that is coming, okay, and I'll announce it here when it's available. It'll be officially sanctioned podcast of over on Blueberry. That'll essentially do that. It'll promote those shows that are listed over there. So, but great idea. We're thinking about it the same way as well. Let me go ahead and get in this next comment as well.
Hey, Todd, I got a suggestion for you on that swag you're looking for, the Ontario Convention podcast. How about Mousepad Notepad? It's actually a notepad, the size of a mousepad, curved corners. And, you know, you're always looking for something to write on. When you're done writing on it, tear off a sheet, and it's still a mousepad, still a notepad. Anyways, my two cents.
Hey, I love those. I've seen those before. They're a little bit above our price range. We try to keep the price to about a buck an item. And I will say that I think the thing that we've decided on bounces, okay? And I'm not going to say too much more than that. But we're going to have a good time with our swag that we've got it in Ontario. And we're ordering 1,500. We hope that's enough. And then I'll probably, I don't know, we'll see how it goes, but, we're going to have a lot of fun with these, come to Ontario and get one because, it's going to be unique. It really was. And if nothing else, then when you get home, you can give it to your kid. Okay. Now I want to thank everyone for all the great comments that they sent in. And I had gotten, I think someone had sent something in pretty close to what we decided on. We'd actually, made a decision, I think, before the email come in, but I need to look through the emails and make sure. And if someone actually suggested that, then I'm going to hook them up with some prizes as well. But thanks, Lloyd, for your, I'm sorry, not Lloyd. Gosh, I'm looking at the email. Thanks for your audio comment. Okay, next up is an email from Lloyd. He said, hey, Todd, your last show you talked about remote printing. Saw the, this on Download Squad. He linked to it. And he said, thanks for the discussion about it. And also he turned me on, said, hey, what you talked about on the auto patcher, we talked about this some time ago. He says, it's not given enough credits. It's so awesome. He said, I work on it in a computer store where we build computers and repair them. And auto patcher, it saves me about 4 hours on all those updates for XP. I don't do so many Win2K installs. Here's a torrent tracker for auto patcher. And he put that link up. I'll put that up in the show notes. Thanks, Lloyd, for that. Got an email from... from Dan. He says, "Hey Todd, as an answer to your YouTube question, I have a funny one. I use it to feed my girlfriend's addiction. She started a page for her cat on MySpace and has over 700 other animal friends. Let me tell you, this is big. She is not alone. Well, I decided to make some videos of our three cats and post them on YouTube, so essentially added another item to her list. Apparently, there's a pet section there, and she is an animal lover. Need I say more?" Well, thanks for that, Dan. And I'll put some of your links up in the show notes. Thanks for that. Got an email from Mark. He said, "Hi, Todd. During my lunch break, I came across something for Linux users / podcast listeners called BashPotter. Now, I've known about BashPotter for a while, Mark. Is it still being actively developed? Because the last time I seen it, hadn't." He says, "One can find a very simple but cool Bash script for downloading podcasts. No extra binaries, just a few lines of script. One can also customize and run as a cron job." I'll put this link up in the show notes. Mark is from Germany. Thanks for your comments. Do appreciate that. Keep your eyes out for that kind of stuff, and we'll keep the audience informed. I got an email from John, and I got a couple of emails from some we just went over an hour. I can't believe I can't keep this show under an hour to save my life. But all right, you have to deal with it. Let's finish the email. John says, "Todd, just a note to tell you how much I have enjoyed listening in the last couple of years. I was looking through my archives this evening and found that the oldest show I still have a copy of is a Trio podcast download on October 27, 2004. Well, John, that was like probably the first or second one. I wandered into the GNC about that time and I have been here ever since. I have to admit that I sometimes wonder whether to keep subscribed. The GNC podcast wasn't the slickest thing I'd ever heard in those days. It wasn't. We've come a long way. They said it was certainly unique, so I preserved, and the GNC podcast has gotten better and better ever since. It is now my favorite of 25 or so I still listen to. And thank you so much for that comment. I do appreciate it. And, you know, John, I've got all the archives. So I know you said go ahead and make the archives available, but I've got them all. I do appreciate that. Hey, thanks for being a subscriber, being a long-term subscriber. And John is in El Dorado Hills, California. So thanks for staying subscribed, my friend. I got an email from Kevin. He says, "Hey, need to find out if there's a good podcatcher that can get video podcasts / MP4s. I use Juice Now, but it will only download the audio port of the podcast. Hope you can help. Thanks for a long-time listener. Keep up the good work." You know, I think on the MP4s, don't quote me, but I thought iTunes would download that. I'm going to have to do some research, Kevin, because I don't download too many video podcasts, and I need to get up to speed on it. Maybe someone can answer that. So he needs to find out if there's a good podcatcher that can download the video podcasts that are MP4s. So he's using Juiced, but it will now only download the audio part. So I'm sure there's a listener out there that will give us an answer. We will see. I got an email from Emily. She said, "Hi, Todd. Thought I'd drop a quick message as I'm a new listener. Found your podcast, subscribed to it, and now I've added your blog RSS feed as well. I really enjoy listening to your podcast. I use YouTube all the time, but I have to say I mainly get it for clips of my favorite shows. Sometimes you can get trailers for new series there to find some funny videos. You have to look for a while, but sometimes you can get some real gems. I definitely agree with you. Some of those videos are a waste of space. Some people use a video blog, which is cool, I suppose, but there's such rubbish on there as well. I also have a blog. I mostly fill it full of my random thoughts, and I wouldn't worry about rambling. After all, it's your blog. Look forward to hearing your next podcast. And see here. P.S. A programmer not saving his work? Oh, please. He deserves everything he gets." And that's about the guy that's was trying to sue Bill Gates for losing his material. Okay, next up, I got an email from Matt out of Lynchburg, Virginia. He's essentially added a whole bunch of podcasts to iTunes, and he says when it downloads, it just brings his computer to a crawl. He wonders if anyone else is having a problem with that. And he says that he wonders if there are good alternatives that would be great. You know, Matt, I've been using Juice. That's the podcatcher I've been using. That's my primary mainstay to download podcasts. It sits and it runs continuously. I've got it set to download podcasts, I think, like every 6 hours. I've had no problems with it. Give it a try. See what happens. That's the alternative I can give you. But I haven't heard of people having slowdowns before using iTunes. Has anyone else had that experience? All right, I got an email from Mike, and boy, this is a long email, but he talks about after my old Samsung Yep started locking up every few days, I spent several weeks lamenting over what MP3 player to get. My first list of features I wanted was pretty long, but in the end, he has ended up with a Sansa E260/270/280 line. He said he doesn't need a huge amount of memory because he uploads the new podcast every day. And he really likes it. It's got a very clear screen. So good to, if you're looking for a nice MP3 player, he's recommending the Sansa line. And let's see what else. He says the sound is clear and plenty loud, and the battery lasts a long time. But good review on that. I do appreciate it. And as always, he says, love your show. Longer is better. Let's push that 70-minute mark. We might tonight. We're at 65. Let's wrap this up here. I got two more. I got more than that, but I need to wrap it up. Got an email from Michael. Said, hey, greetings. You had mentioned on today's podcast that you were curious about longtime listeners. I date back quite a bit and have been a constant listener since you were back in the hotel room in Texas, October 2004. That's correct. And he says, I've always appreciated your take on things. Appreciate the time you put in a podcast for the sake of demographic feedback. I don't need your demographics, but thanks for sending them to me as well. And if it doesn't make you self-conscious, my wife enjoys listening with me, not because she likes the tech content, but she loves your laugh. Well, you know, it will make me self-conscious, but I get that comment all the time. So I'm glad she enjoys the laugh, and stay subscribed. Thanks for being part of the family here. And I'll put a link up to your website that you run at ranchobaptistchurch.org. So thanks for Mike for being a subscriber here, and hope your wife gets a kick out of the laughs. Okay, last email. Hey, Todd, love the show and don't mind when you talk about your personal life at all. Set that show apart. On your last podcast, someone was looking for online storage. I've been using Mozy, M-O-Z-Y, for the past month and been very happy with it. It allows you to specify individual files, directories, file types, etc. They offer 2 gigs of free storage. It's from Jeff. Thanks for that. You know what? We are ridiculously long, and I may actually have to cut a few articles out. I don't know. But all right, folks. Hey, thanks so very much for being here, being part of the family, and thanks for staying subscribed for my long, long remarks. And as always, keep them coming. And it's what you guys keep me going on these emails and with the audio comments. Call the voicemail hotline, 619-342-7365. And you can always email me at geeknews@gmail.com, geeknews@gmail.com. And, of course, Skype, Geek News Central. Everyone take care. Have a great, great weekend. I know I am. Surf is going to be up. We're going to have a great time. We'll see you on the 200th show next Tuesday. Strap in. Here it comes. Aloha.